as we sat and enjoyed being outside in the garden. It was a lovely sunny day, and just enjoyed being with those little children and, if you like, appreciating God's miracle of growth and life. Jesus uses images of plants and growth to help us understand what it means to follow him and to be part of the kingdom of God. For seeds are, if you like, a picture of the birth of God's new order, that is, the kingdom of God, through the word of Jesus. And the extraordinary thing is, the kingdom of God will take root and flourish. Whatever else happens, that will happen. And we see that through this chapter in Mark, chapter 4, where we heard our gospel parables read today about the kingdom of God, stories which Jesus told, which have a deeper meaning, all about growing and flourishing. Before the passage we had today, earlier in Mark chapter 4, we have the parable of the sower, where the sower sows seeds with an abundance and not all of them grow. In the story, the first story we had today, there's an implication of almost automatic growth of seeds, regardless of what the farmer does. And then our second parable was the comparison of the kingdom of God to the mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, growing into this sprawling bush. The kingdom of God is the territory where we are all called to live and work as we follow Jesus. But we don't get a detailed tourist brochure, if you like, telling us exactly what the kingdom of God will be like, with one of those special maps with numbers and color coding, so you know exactly where you're going to go and what's going on and what's going to happen. It's not like that. Instead, we have some rather wonderful, but also kind of startling and quite oblique and sometimes hard to understand parables that Jesus tells. For the kingdom of God isn't about geography, about where this kingdom is. It's not a static place, rather it's a dynamic place. It's the reality of God's peace and presence and power within creation and within the lives of each of us, God's people. That's what the kingdom of God is. And there is a sense in which the kingdom of God has already been ushered in by Jesus. God's presence and rule have taken on a new dimension and power among us. But there's also a sense in which the kingdom of God is yet to come. It's only to come in the fullness at the end times. And at that point, heaven and earth will be renewed and God will reign over all. So going back to that first parable about the mystery of growing seed, it could be telling us all sorts of different things, or maybe all of those things at the same time. But there's one clear message that comes across to me, and that is that we have to learn patience about things happening and growing in God's good time and by God's grace. We have to be realistic about what our role is, because it's Jesus that plants and Jesus that reaps. It just happens. It's the nature of the kingdom of God to flourish and grow. We are, of course, invited to join in too and to play our part. We are called to tend and to nurture, but it's not dependent on us, which is probably quite a relief, isn't it? The second parable about the mustard seed provides us with actually some contrast, but also with some quite things that would have been quite funny for those who first heard Jesus tell this story. Because in those days, no one would actually plant a mustard seed at all, because it was a plant that was a natural, it was more like a weed really than something that you'd plant, although it did have medicinal purposes, so it wasn't that it wasn't useful and it wasn't a good plant to have around, but it wasn't one that you'd actually plant. So that would have probably caused a wry smile or a chuckle in the listeners who heard it when Jesus said it. There's also this huge contrast, the contrast between this small seed and this rambling huge bush. And another contrast between the ordinariness of a very ordinary bush, I've just said it was a bit of a weed, with the kingdom of God, which is something really special and vibrant and important. And these mustard bushes grew up to be very rambling and spreading, but to provide shelter for birds. God again reveals the growth and the flourishing through that contrast of small to large, and also through the provision of shelter and a place for those birds to flourish in the bushes. In our reading from Ezekiel this morning, we hear of God planting a tiny cedar twig on a high mountain of Israel, and that twig becomes a large and fruitful tree under whose branches every kind of bird will find shelter. We see a real similarity there. Jesus, quite deliberately, I'm sure, doesn't use the image of a majestic cedar tree, but the much more ordinary mustard bush, which little by little spreads and grows and transforms the landscape. It's a picture of the end times where there's space for everyone in the kingdom of God, and it's fruitful and life-giving, space for all to be welcome, to be given shelter, and to be cared for. A place where it's often the ordinary rambling plants that spread and bring life and colour to desolate places. It's humble and it's ordinary, but it will transform the world. In this way, Jesus told the story of the kingdom of God in a way which was really compelling, insistent, inviting, but there was also mystery, maybe misunderstanding or scope for misunderstanding too. God's reign in the kingdom of God is not dictatorial, if you like. It invites us to join in with love and grace. Just like the seeds which are planted and grow in the first parable, the kingdom of God will grow and flourish because that is what the word of God does. And we're all invited to join in this work of God, to water with God, to work with him, to sow seeds, to tend, to nurture, to place ourselves and to encourage others to place themselves in the sun of God's loving gaze, to share the good news of God's kingdom, of this invitation to know the joy of acceptance, welcome, and love. Each of us is invited to plant the seeds of God's love. We do this every time we make some small act of kindness or mercy or love for someone else. But that good news is not solely dependent on us in our human weakness and frailty. Somehow God's kingdom will find a way to flourish and grow despite us. It reminds me of those weeds that you sometimes see if you, say, go on the railway, on the train into London, and you see those weeds that somehow manage to grow up among the tracks despite all the odds. There's something very beautiful and warming about that, growing and flowering in the most inhospitable places without any seeming tending or nurturing, because it's impossible for the good news of the kingdom of God to be buried in the ground like a seed and not to spring up with new life and hope. And where the seed grows and the mustard bushes spread, a place will be created and is created for sanctuary, hospitality, sustenance, for renewal, a place of welcome and hope, particularly for those in great need, whatever that need is. So just as Kate and others who tend our garden here, just as they do that, we are all invited to tend and nurture our fellow human beings and to create a place of sanctuary where the joy of reconciliation can be known. And just as every Connect mum does her best to tend and nurture her child or children, we're invited to show love, welcome, and acceptance to our fellow human beings so that they too can catch a glimpse of the wonder of the kingdom of God and know something of the invitation to be part of it. We are all invited to share in the growth and flourishing of the kingdom of God here in East Greenwich. Because God longs for each of us to know the life abundant which Jesus promises, life full of growth, growth in knowing and loving Jesus, life that flourishes. And God longs for us to share the joy of that abundant life with others. As St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. Amen.